right. Thank you so much, BBS Radio, for broadcasting tonight's episode of Another Call, a Monday evening episode with Winfrey and co-host Terry Brown. It is today the 3rd of July, 2017, a Monday evening. We are 4 minutes till the hour. My name is Gijs Minderhout, located in Paradise, California. And I welcome you all to this gathering. And Ron, it's still just the two of us and BBS. I'm going to play a little tune, all right?
Okay.
And then just when somebody else... Actually, I was playing Jim Leeds, his piano music. And when somebody comes in, then I'll stop it and greet the folk.
Hello, I'm Jim Leeds, solo pianist, and I have here about 10 minutes of my favorite melodies, and I hope you enjoy them.
Welcome to the next call. Thank you for being here. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Music's fine. Thank you.
Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm still breathing.
Right. That's a good thing, May.
I wish I were breathing more often.
Yes. Do your best. Yeah.
Thank you for being here, Heis.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Heis. It's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Jane, welcome to the call. How are you?
Thank you. I'm fine. Thank you.
All right. Doing well over here. Thank you. All right. I just started a little tune from Jim Leeds, but it's only 2 minutes till the hour, so I don't know if many people are going to be here. And another call joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Good evening, all. It's Cleo from Connecticut.
Good evening to you, Cleo, and welcome to the call.
Thank you so much. How are you, Heis? Your voice sounds a little hoarse.
That's what Ron also told me. I don't notice it myself. I don't know what I have going on.
They're allergies.
Whatever it is. Yeah. All right, so the day before the 4th, people might be traveling. All right, somebody else is welcome. Please say name and location.
It's when...
Hello, Wynn. Good evening to you.
Hello, Heis.
Welcome, Wynn. Thank you for being here.
Who is that? Willow?
No, this is anonymous.
It's me.
No, it's anonymous. Anonymous number two. I think Wynn is anonymous number one, or he's no.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Prudy from Michigan. Hi, everyone.
Hello, Prudy. Finally, you're here. We were waiting for you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here. So, Wynn, we're live on BBS Radio. And
well, we got at least another... Let's wait 2 more minutes.
All right.
Okay. Terry's not here, is she?
That's right. She's not here.
We don't need her.
I need her.
Let me tell her, okay? That'll make her feel good.
Good.
You know, letting yourself be needed, I'm going to start getting profound. Just remind me when we start the call that I should start out with letting yourself be needed, okay?
Good evening and welcome to the call. This must be Terry.
Hi.
Hello, Terry. Thank you for being here.
Hello.
Welcome, Terry. We need you.
Oh, thank you.
We were just talking about you.
You were?
Yeah. I said, Terry's not here. Oh, well, I don't need her. And then And I said, but we need her.
That's good.
I might include a little channeling towards the end of this call, okay?
Okay.
Just a little one. Now, who just came in?
Anyone at all from the person who just joined in? Welcome. If you want to, please say name and location.
Hello, Shirley from Ohio.
Good evening to you, Shirley. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. And somebody else joined in. If you want to, please say name and location.
That's another anonymous.
Another anonymous.
Hello, this is Terry from Dallas.
Greetings. Hello, Terry from Dallas. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Anyone else that joined in?
Positive right greetings, hi.
Hello, Raiden. Raiden from Arizona. Positive greetings to you, my friend.
Good evening. Yes, all the best.
Raiden, I always want to tell people your previous lifetime.
Which one? We've all had so many.
The one where you were kind of famous.
Well, I may be famous in many than just one.
Well, the one that I know about.
I've already done with that. I don't need to deal with that anymore. I'm here now with me.
We shouldn't tell anybody, huh?
Well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, thank you. Everybody's done with their past lifetimes. But, you know, I'll tell you that it is fascinating when you happen to know who you were, to see how who you were is expressing itself this lifetime, and the lessons that you didn't master in that lifetime, you are more masterful at if you've done a good job, you know?
That's, oh, yeah.
We're not recording, okay.
This conference is being recorded.
This is July 3rd, 2017. And Lynn and Terry in Sedona and everybody everywhere. Now, what did I say?
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Remind me. What did I say to remind me of? Guys, are you paying attention? No.
All callers are unmuted.
What did I say to remind me of?
Something profound.
Oh, no. I started talking. And I said I'm going to save that for when we start recording because we want to go into something deep. You guys remember?
You didn't tell us what it was.
No, but Mesa? Mesa? No.
So.
No.
Florida?
Nothing to do with
Georgia.
No. I think you came in after I said it, okay?
Atlantis.
No, it wasn't about past lives, okay?
About
it
Terry?
Was.
I think you wanted to talk about being wanted or needed.
That's it. Thank you. Okay.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
All right. You know, what I was going to talk about tonight was cycles and timing. And I thought that I could give some really good tips that you can apply to your life. Okay. And which I work with myself in my life, and I can see how it works. So I'm kind of speaking from experience, because it's one of those things that people don't often consider in their day-to-day lives. But then, just before the call started, we talked about being wanted and needed. And I wanted to make a comment about that before I go into cycles, okay? And because this all started because Terry wasn't here, and I said, "Oh, we don't need her, okay?" And then May, I think, said, "I need her," and that's what got me started in thinking about the idea of being needed. You know, this is one of the dilemmas of 3D. It is a dilemma, and it's tricky to resolve the dilemma, because on one level, none of us want to be needed. None of us want to be depended upon. We want to be sovereign. And when people need us, sometimes the word that comes up is codependency. And then somebody, you have to prop them up all the time. You have to help them with money all the time. And they're coming to you with their needs, and it becomes, how would I say it, tiresome or old.
All callers are unmuted.
Any of you ever have that experience?
Yes.
Don't lie, guys. Come on. Anyone else have that experience? You don't have to say what it is.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Before
you learn discernment, right. And so...
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
But there's another side to it, okay? And there's a side where the way we allow ourselves to be needed on a higher level gives us reason to be alive. I want to point out the differences, because it's subtle. How you go from the lower level of need to the higher level of need, and it's like when May said we need Terry, you know, for example, Terry has had our time in this realm for a number of lifetimes. I have had a hard time in this realm for, not all the time, but I don't know all my lives, but I know in some of them I've had a hard time and ended up getting killed for whatever I was doing. Terry's ended up getting killed for whatever she was doing. I think when she was cast St. Catherine, there were a number of women that would follow her around wherever she goes because they wanted her to rub off on them.
All callers are unmuted.
Isn't that right, Terry? Terry?
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Is that right? Did you like that?
Well, it wasn't that I liked it. It was that I had so much to communicate. I had this job to do.
Yeah.
To bring the God and God is love and bring it into the third density.
Right. So when you were doing your higher job, didn't feel like a problem, right?
Mm-mm.
In other words,
no. It was like I wanted to let all those people know to bring through the message to their people.
Right, right. When you're doing really high work, and people need you, it's kind of a blessing to be used in that way in this realm, because the energy keeps flowing through you to those people. You know, one of the things that I learned...
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
was that most people have varying degrees of lower level patterns that they are struggling to work through. And it would be nice if somebody could say something or hold a weekend seminar or whatever, and suddenly release everybody from all their patterns, which people try to do, and in most cases, the patterns come back. And of course, then they keep charging people, come back again and again and again, because you need more to get rid of your patterns. Now, that has some degree of truth in it, except people don't have enough money oftentimes. How many times do you need to pay to get rid of your patterns? It's like even somebody saying that a shrink. Does a shrink ever fix anybody? Or do they just get addicted to coming back and laying on the couch and feeling understood and paying $100 to $200 for this person that's going to understand you? And you're kind of addicted to it. But of course, he's getting paid for it. Now, in our case, we're not getting paid for this, what we're doing. And that we figured out a way, and it's kind of been hook and crook by figuring it out, because I didn't know how to do this, but a way to interface with the higher dimensions. So when we do things, they come into it and work with people individually in a way that I can't. So it wouldn't matter if there were 30 people on this line or a million people on this line. We could do this and bring the energies in. We've never had a million people, so we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But theoretically, we could bring the energies in, because it's really an introduction to the energy of the higher realms. And it's like when one is actually doing that, the energy sustains. It doesn't feel like somebody's pulling on you. Now, there have been times in the course of this work where I have accidentally given my phone number to someone. This was early on, where I didn't know what I was doing. And years later, they're still calling me, and they expect me to fix them every time they call. And I can't fix them every time they call. I tell people, are you coming to our conference calls all the time? Because, you see, it takes time to get through those patterns. It takes sustained support. And it's hard to do it individually, one-on-one, unless you got getting paid for it, or, you know, or unless you have some kind of karma with a person where you have a special affinity. Like sometimes somebody might have helped you in another lifetime, and they come in, you're in your life this time, and you have a compulsion to want to help them get through, because you have the track memory. You don't have it in your real memory, but it's in your track memory. And so you end up giving them a lot, okay? And still, the hopefulness is, at a certain point, they're going to be self-sustaining, and that you can hold for them until they become self-sustaining. So some of you on this line, not all of you, everyone's an individual. Some of you get on this line and you hit the ground running. You've already worked out a bunch of stuff, and you jump right in, and you're present, you know what's going on, you feel the energies, and other of you come in, and you still have a lot of old baggage. Now, sometimes those people get mad at me, and they think I'm supposed to fix them, and then they leave. But some people keep coming back and coming back and coming back and listening and listening, and there is a gradual process here that takes place for people that hang in, where these patterns can release. And I would say that can be an aspect of grace, where you can't force this. You can't force those patterns to go. They go when they go, when they go, when they go. You can keep taking in, you can keep taking understanding, you can develop patience with yourself, you can learn how to work around some patterns, but they don't go away until they do. And how long does that take? It's different for every person. That's why we have a system here that creates spiritual family, that people can partake of the energies as long as they need to. And then once you start to hold the energy, then you become part of the group that's holding the energy on the line for other people who need to release their energies on the calls. So that's what I wanted to share. And
all callers are unmuted.
Are you guys aware of that pattern? Did you ever think of it before?
Yes.
I thought that's what reincarnation was for, that if you didn't work out the pattern, you just keep coming back until you learn to work it out.
Yeah, but you know what? My experience is, and this is, that is what it's for, or it is how it works. I don't know if it's what it's for, because I don't even know how intricately it was designed. But my experience, because I happen to know the past lives of certain people around me, is that people come in and they keep repeating the same patterns in different forms. It's amazing to study that, because I know somebody who they were in a past life, and they're in my life this life, and I can study their past life and maybe a lifetime before that, and they're still in the same pattern. You know, you have to discover and recognize something that holds an energy above your patterns. And that is probably...
Never should have taken it. My mother said we took our own bedding, all quilts, all...
The fast track to getting over your patterns. So there are things out there that hold energy above your patterns, and that when you find one and you immerse yourself in it, you start working out your patterns because you now are at a higher timeline. But it's not easy to find something in a higher timeline than your patterns. Most things are in the same timeline or a lesser timeline. And there's all these traps of all this stuff where grace is the fastest way to move through your patterns. And, you know, grace, the Elohim have explained grace as this higher highest, maybe the highest level or very high level of Elohim that can sprinkle fairy dust in this realm and cause things in this realm to shift. And then there's the Christ consciousness, which is different than the Elohim, but it's a creation of the Ra group, which holds an energy in the matrix at a very high level that people can access and use to lift themselves higher than the veil. And I think the Christ consciousness is easier to access than grace. And they may work together a lot of times, you know, where somebody accesses them both. But Jesus was the person that was the Christ consciousness was anchored with. And according to all of our research and questions, that the Christ consciousness is directly connected with the Ra group. Although nobody else on the planet will say that or knows that. And I could be wrong, but we've talked about it in the past. I went through a huge amount of stuff figuring that out. And that's the way to accelerate the release of your patterns. I mean, if you just say, well, I'll just plenty of time, I got lots of lifetimes, that may be true. But there are...
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
There are a lot of pitfalls in this realm that are very easy to fall into inadvertently over many lifetimes. So it's very easy to get set back than be propelled forward, depending on how well you are with pitfalls. Now, some pitfalls are fairly easy to get out of, and some of them are almost impossible to get out of. Like, for example, people fall into patterns where they happen to end up being really desperate. And when you're really desperate, one of the worst pitfalls is to deal with the devil. Now, the deal with the devil doesn't come and say, hi, I am the devil. It comes in the form of somebody that wants to loan you money. And they're very generous. And before you know it, there are strings attached. And you feel obligated. And the person who did that is involved in negative societies. And you get caught up in all those energies. And if you try to get out of it, you're risking your life. And if you stay in it, you're risking your soul. So that is a very difficult dilemma that any of us, if we didn't have really razor-sharp discernment, could fall into. If we ended up in a life where we were desperate for whatever reason, and we couldn't, and we made a deal with the wrong person, and the wrong person does not look like the wrong person, okay? They can look friendly, and they can be smiling, and they can appear like, oh my God, this is grace. And you make the deal, and before you know it, you're in quicksand. And we've probably all done that in one shape or another, one life or another. I know I have, so I understand it. I don't remember the details, but I have the cellular memory. It's one of the reasons that I can go into these places and understand them. And
all callers are unmuted.
Any of you guys ever do that?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, the deal with the devil doesn't have to be about taking money from someone. It can be so terribly lonely, and you have relationship with the wrong person, and then find yourself in incredible bondage in that relationship because it didn't have deep understanding. It just had sensual pleasure. And it's not that a relationship with sensual pleasure by itself is wrong, except that if you do it with the wrong person, they will kind of have dips on your soul energy and can keep you really contracted. Anyone ever have that experience?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, we got some old souls in this realm. See, the one good thing about
amen.
the one good thing about being an old soul is that you've been there and you've done it. And that's one of the things about reincarnation. If you've been there and done it, it's kind of better to die than make some of these kinds of concessions. But it's better to work it out and get out of the hole than die. But it's better to die than make a deal with the devil, okay? And, you know, these things come up in the course of our lives. And, you know, when we're desperate, we can do it. We can make those deals. And it does not appear like you're making a deal with the devil. It, you know, Edgar Casey, I believe, said, when the devil can't get you any other way, he sends a woman, okay? And the wrong woman, because it's one of those things that it's such a delicate balance between the right and the wrong. Not only that, you can start off with a relationship that's not perfect, that has a lot of hooks and barbs in it, and it's possible to work it out. So both people evolve. A relationship is like the most powerful way to work out your shadow side. And we all have one. Because your shadow side, here we go, I'm gonna
all callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Your shadow side can, you know, in regular life, we are trained to disguise our shadow side, to be kind of ashamed of it and not let anyone see it. And that is probably wise, because people will judge you, except most people are sensitive to each other's shadow side anyway. But in a relationship, in a sexual relationship, you cannot hide your shadow side. It's too close, it's too intimate, and it comes up. So now you have the job of mastering your shadow side in that relationship. And the best way to do that is to have a relationship with someone who understands what I'm talking about and understands their shadow side and doesn't judge shadow sides and learns to work around, people learn how to work around each other's shadows. And if they do that, they are really blessing each other and evolving. And, you know, oftentimes relationships start out where everyone is in this romantic bliss, but the shadow is waiting. That does not last. You can maybe be able to get it for 6 months if you're lucky. But at some point, the shadow comes up and it has to be dealt with. That's when, but that's good as long as you have, or in a best case scenario, you have someone that understands these principles and they can work it out together. In a lesser case scenario, you can understand it and you can work it out and you can become more aware of your shadow side, because it takes being incredibly honest with yourself to be working with your shadow, because it has all those things that you don't want to be like, and yet you are, okay? So, because you don't want to be that way, you can make pretend you're not, except you are. Your jealousy, your envy, your lust, your, what else? Hang on a second. I'll have you guys help.
All callers are unmuted.
What's another aspect of your shadow that I'm not mentioning?
Projections.
Protection?
Projections.
Oh, projection.
Projecting
right.
Your shadows onto your partner and all hell breaks loose.
Right. You know, yeah, it's like a wall of mirrors, so suddenly your partner is acting out your shadow side. And you see them doing it, but you don't know it's your shadow. You think it's their shadow, right? And then that is a downhill cycle really fast. Anyone else got anything to say about your shadow?
What about getting annoyed or angry?
Getting annoyed or impatience, right?
That too.
Does impatience lead to anger? What is anger? Why do people get angry? I mean, I think one reason is they have an expectation of someone else, and the person doesn't fulfill the expectation, and then you get angry. Guys like get this way all the time with their partners, or they can get this way, because if you look at the nature of physicality and sex, it's not true for everybody, but in general, as a template, guys are far more intense than women. Guys get like headaches. They get, you know, their energy gets backed up, and they have the experience that the woman can fix them, which she can. But then they expect that they can get fixed whatever they want. And if for whatever reason, I mean, the best case scenario is where people fix each other, where they fix each other, they cope with each other's shadow side, and they honor it, and to the best of their ability, they help the person deal with those parts of their nature. But if the woman is sometimes the woman will just totally start closing down on the man, because her level of sovereignty says, I don't want to be here just to be used so he can be in balance. And of course, it's a loving relationship. Then she should want him to be, help him be in balance. Guys are more intense than women, but women are more nurturing than men. In the archetype, in specific, it can be any variation, but in the archetype, women are more nurturing. Somebody once said, that was one of my teachers, and I'm not absolutely sure if this is true, but I think it might be, that a man releases the his negativity into the woman, and the woman then holds for him, and then she releases the negativity that she's storing up in her period, okay? And that's a really interesting concept. I've never heard anyone else say that except one person, and it kind of made sense, because women don't have that urgency for release, the archetype. Some women do, but in the archetype, women don't. But they have the need to nurture. That's why women bring up a child, because the child needs to be nurtured. So in the relationship, the woman can then... after initial romantic period where she's totally satisfying the man and the man has just been romantic bliss, she suddenly feels trapped by it and feeling like she's losing herself, and she withdraws and the man goes nuts. He gets angry. And guys, any of you ever experienced that? Don't lie. Come on. Women, any of you ever experienced that? I can't believe you haven't experienced. Thank you for being honest, okay? I've experienced it, you know? I've experienced it from a man's point of view. I remember I had a girlfriend, my first big girlfriend in college. We were traveling around in the Volkswagen bus, and one time I kicked in the ceiling of the bus because I was so angry, you know? And women don't understand it. They don't understand how a man operates. Any of you women understand how men operate?
Yes.
I do. Yes.
There we go. Okay. Now, just remember... I'm talking about archetypes, and you may not be in the archetype, because there are men who are more, receptive and don't have that urgency, and there's women that have that urgency, and that's okay, because there's no judgment about any of it. But the person that has urgency in their release can easily get totally angry in a relationship. I mean, there's other reasons for anger. And usually it has to do with having expectations of someone, and the person is meeting your expectations, and that you're feeling you're suffering, and your suffering turns in to anger, okay? So it's like working around it. Like, for example, sometimes Terry can be really forgetful. And I used to get angry with her. Like for example, she would drive me crazy because she would leave the house and she could never remember to take her cell phone. And I would worry about her. Sometimes I have to go track her down and wonder where she got to. And I tried everything. I put a big sign on the door the picture of the cell phone. I was almost going to put something on her steering wheel. Do you have your cell phone? But eventually, I have learned to work around Terry's forgetfulness. And the worst thing I can do is get angry with her, because she's not doing it on purpose. And if she wasn't forgetful, she might not be able to channel the Elohim, because part of her is not focused in this realm. And she has to focus very hard. And I watch her do it. She focuses very hard to make things work in this realm. Things that other people would even not think twice about. See, now I'm talking about her in front of people. But this is like exactly what I was talking about, where you can see somebody's distortions or deficiencies or things, and it's learning to work and accept them. And I'm sure she has to do the same with me. And for quite some time now, if we get angry, we just go, nah, 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 and then we, in a moment later, we're smiling at each other. We clear it. It's just expressing it. And that's probably a mature way of dealing with a pattern. So, Terry, you can get even now. Talk about me, if you want to. Are you there? Are you unmuted?
Yeah, I'm here, and I'm unmuted. Well, you know, it's fun when I, quote, forget my phone, end quote. It's not usually that I forget it. It's like the post office is closing in 10 minutes, and I got to get over there.
Mm-hmm.
And if I, I'm going, or if I get my phone together, I'm going to miss the post office, so I'll just go without it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing that happens.
Well, then the other thing is you're always going to the post office 10 minutes before it closes normally.
Oh, I know, and that's usually because, like, I'm shipping something, and I try to ship too much. I don't break it off at 20 minutes, too. I think, well, you know, I can ship this last thing in the last 10 minutes. And,
mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's getting much better.
Oh, yeah, it's getting much better, and I don't get mad over it much anymore. And, in fact, if I'm in the house, I might remember to say, Terry, do you have your phone? And,
right.
You know, it's kind of like working around everybody's distortions, okay? And to the best of one's ability, okay? And I wanted to talk about cycles. Now that we said all of that, let me see here. Something that I have noticed and pay attention to, and there's a lot of people that talk about something they call the 20% rule. And it seems to work for a lot of different situations. And, for example, that you can be creative 20% of the time, and then you have to go do something else, because you can't stay focused in a high level of creativity. Or if you have an email list, 20% of the people will be responsive to you, and 80% will be just kind of neutral. And so, for example, there are cycles in timing where I can recognize when I'm in my positive cycle, or my 20% cycle. And sometimes when I'm not, I can't focus. I can't do something. I have to do something else. And I have so much to do, it bugs the hell out of me that I can't focus. Cool. And I've learned to go with flow. Everybody's...
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
To go with flow and say, okay, today I gotta sleep. Like, for example, since we started doing Whole Planet Healing, I find that it actually takes a certain amount of my energy to do that every day. And that sometimes I need to sleep more to recoup the energy that goes out on it. And that's just goes with the territory of doing it. Now, at some point, maybe we'll just organize a bunch of audios to play, because I've tested it. The energy comes in as well on an audio as if I'm there in person. But nonetheless, it's learning and being aware of the things you do that take energy, that give energy, and your cycles. I do a lot of experimenting to see what works for me in honoring my own cycles. Like, one thing that has always worked for me is if I'm writing, that sometimes it's good to go into a public place, like a hotel lobby, or a coffee shop, or a restaurant. And it helps me get into a creative space, because I can feel the energy of the people around me. And so when I'm writing, I can say, unconsciously, I start to think, if I want to communicate an idea to the people in this room, how would I communicate it? But I don't think of that so much. It happens automatically, and it helps me get more inspired, because I can feel the energy of the people in the room. And part of my job is to communicate really high principles to regular people. There's supposedly something called biorhythm cycles, which I never really paid attention to, but they're probably true. And there are certain days when I can do things and other days when I can't. There are certain days that are good to make phone calls to people, because I will be totally present with them. And there are other days where I shouldn't be making phone calls, but I can be writing, because it's an internal process. There's times when I have a lot of charisma and I can go into the world, and the world will be far more responsive to me because of my charisma level is up. When my charisma level is not up, it's better to do more secluded things. And like, if I was like looking for a job, I would look for a job when my charisma level was up. It's like paying attention to your cycles so that you have higher successes. And when you start having successes and you're paying attention to your cycles, then the period of your successes starts to build a new energy inside of you, that you can even have more time having successes. It's kind of like there's such a thing as a zone. And I used to learn this at fairs. that if I was selling something, if I could get into the zone, then I wouldn't move from the zone. It's kind of like you would get into a zone at a booth and people would just keep walking up and walking up and walking up, and one sale would lead to the next. And it looks like everybody's buying, but you take a break, like go to the bathroom or something, come back, not there anymore. It's like it's a psychic energy that you build. And it's like learning how to build a zone so that you can make things flow in your direction. So I've told this story before. Sometimes I would go to a booth where we're selling something, and I would be morning, and I'm saying I'm grumpy, it's morning, I don't want to be here. Now, there were days where I, like, went with that, and sometimes we hardly sold anything the whole day when I was first starting doing that. And then I learned I could do something to get out of it. And the way to do something was to do something where I had a success. For example, give you specifically, early in the morning, somebody would be walking by my booth, and I'd say, "Sir, will you come over and put a sunglass on? I want to look busy, and I'm having trouble getting my juices going." And sometimes a person thought I was joking, but I wasn't. It was true. So they would come over. People would do things to help you more than you believe if you ask them that way. And they would come over, and they'd start looking at sunglasses, trying them on, looking in the mirror. Then they'd get a second person to do it. If they found something they liked, I would say, "Listen, it's early in the morning, and I need to break the ice. You know, we're going to sell that sunglass you're wearing for $12 all day, but I want to make my first sale. If you buy it, you can have it for $5. And they would buy it. And it was like suddenly I started moving into my zone. And maybe I had to do that with one person, two persons, three people. It didn't matter. Because once I got into the zone, people would just line up. It was like an amazing energy. Terry used to watch it. And I was amazed when I first discovered that. I mean, that I could have a whole huge crowd around me. And then I trained other people how to do this. Not to sell, but to get into the zone. How do you get into the zone? Even if you're on the phone calling people, it's like getting into the zone where people respond to you. And you're not like coming from desperation. When you come from desperation, the chances of getting something good, whether it's a relationship or a sunglass sale, are unlikely, okay? When you come from abundance, everything starts coming your way. So the key is how do you switch from feeling of desperation to a feeling of abundance? And that's what we're talking about. There's probably different ways of doing it. If you want a relationship, figuring out how to approach somebody without approaching them desperately, or, you know, without the desperate energy, because people feel desperate. And how do you switch that? I don't know if you guys saw that movie, Something About Mary. Wait a second.
We're about to go off the air.
I know, I'm going to quit now.
All callers are unmuted.
How many of you saw Something About Mary? Nobody, right?
Not me.
No, I did.
No.
I did.
Yeah, long time ago.
Yeah,
remember the guy was going out on a date, and he had to get himself undesperate to go on the date? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
She thought it was hair mousse.
Right, hair moves, right, right. But, I mean, that actually works, okay? It actually works because when guys are desperate, I mean, they look forlorn, you know, and nobody wants them, right? So they got to look like they're not forlorn. You know, for those of you that didn't see the movie, the guy was going on this big date with this girl that he had a crush on, and he went into the bathroom and ended up doing himself in the bathroom. And then it was a funny scene. He came out of the bathroom, and somehow, I think he had some stuff on his shirt. And the woman looks at him and says, "Oh, you screwed up your mousse." And she took it and put it on his hair.
She put it on her own hair.
She put it on her own hair. I can't remember.
She was sticking straight up.
But who was in that movie? Cameron Diaz. That was one of her first big movies. And it was hilarious. Okay? But it was a good point of how to get rid of desperateness. You know, and make a better impression. And it was really funny, but it's also true. And on that note, let's end this call. We're going to go to Whole Planet Healing, and we'll see you in a minute. Thank you all for being here. I hope I told you at least one thing you never knew before. Did I tell anybody anything they didn't know before? I wasted my time.
No, you didn't waste your time. There's several things that you said that, but you just, to me, you were coming from an angle that I'd never really thought about before.
Yeah.
I didn't respond to anything anyway.
What's that, Tom?
We need to hear this more than once anyway.
Well, listen to the replay. There's a lot of stuff on this call. These are things
I'm just saying you didn't waste your time.
Oh, it's a lot of stuff. Okay. We'll see ya. They're going to cut us off on VBS. Whole Planet Healing. I don't remember the phone number. Anyone need the phone number on this line?
712-770-4340. And the PIN is 250513#.